Welcome, everyone, to this online Yoga Nidra teacher training. I'm really, really thrilled that you're here. And I'm trying to temper the pace of my voice and volume because I'm super duper excited for the journey you're about to take. This is our first module, which is really just about welcoming you and setting some context. And I'll reference some slides. So I'm going to go ahead and open those and we'll get going. All right. So as you can see here, the main purpose, welcome, welcome. But I wanted to share with you as well, just a sense of what I hope you'll get out of taking this online course. Two main ones, and maybe I'll throw in a third if I'm feeling it, but the main objectives to why I designed this program is that I really hope you emerge feeling really confident in your knowledge of Nidra, and we can start to understand the framework of Nidra in sort of two areas. We'll spend some time focusing on the philosophical context behind Yoga Nidra, which is super rich and an area of passion for me, for sure. But we'll also understand this newer side I'm referencing over here, this newer side, which is what we could say is the biological context behind Nidra, what's happening to our nervous system when we rest, what happens to our brains when we take on a practice like Yoga Nidra. So I really hope you'll feel confident in your knowledge in both ends of the spectrum. And beyond that, I hope that you find your own voice. Some of us might be taking this program because we just want to learn more about something that we love or something that we're curious about. But if you're here because you want to walk away with some tangible skills, you will be ready to teach. What a bold claim, but I think it's true. You'll be ready to teach and you'll be teaching with your own voice and with your own unique approach towards offering this modality. In many ways, I think that what I offer looks like a template for you to plug in what interests you the most, or for you to bring forward your own knowledges and passions to insert into the practice itself. So I really encourage that, and I'm excited to see where you take this. So beyond these two overarching objectives, perhaps we toss in a third one that I hope you start to have your own relationship to this modality. In the tradition of yoga, we are instructed to teach from our direct experience. So that's my hope. You gain further and further experience practicing Nidra yourself, and you teach from that relationship. You teach from that place. All right. So in this brief little opening lecture, as I mentioned, we'll just do a lot of context setting. We'll cover off some of the logistics of the program, and I hope it's laid out in an organized way that feels clear, but this will be helpful for me to just add in a few things verbally here. I should also note that I'm available to you throughout your time taking this course, so I'll be sure to include my contact details. So, after we talk about our program logistics, including some best practices for learning, we'll discuss the manual itself that you'll receive as a part of this course and requirements if you choose to submit those to me. We'll also end off this lecture by just framing our understanding of Yoga Nidra, including a bit of its history, which I'll say is murky at best. We'll look at some modern applications of Nidra, what's happening, what's the landscape these days, and we'll also look at some lineages. So who are the main teachers or the names in this world, this land of Nidra? All right, let's go for it. This might be the blandest part of this lecture, so hang in there. I encourage you, the benefit of doing this training in this format is that you can move at your own pace. So you pick up those modules when you feel ready. I've intentionally made them in a certain order so that the knowledge is cumulative and you're pulling from what you've learned in later modules. That being said, you're invited to go at your own pace and in your own order. So do what makes the most sense to you. You'll see that I'm offering two modules that we'll call mini movement series, and they also include a brief recording of a nidra practice. And I'm including these because when we endeavor to do a lot of learning, it's nice to tend to our bodies. So I'm offering you some sample movement practices. But both of the movement series are also examples of movement that you might offer your students if you find yourself teaching nidra in person. Often when we've got more time in a class setting, I find that folks can rest a lot more easily if they've done a bit of movement prior to launching into this very still practice. So these will be examples of movement practices that might inspire your own gentle movement. And they're also just nice. And there will also be brief nidra recordings I mentioned attached to those mini movement series. These are nice for you to try maybe before launching into a module. So you come from this place of rest. Each module will also be really rich with learning tools. So I'm sort of skipping a point here, but if we go down to the resources that I'll include, you'll get access to all the visuals and slides used. So for example, you'll be able to download these slides if you choose to. I'll make explicit any pieces that I'm referencing. So those will be listed as well. Your manual, which is also an amazing resource unto itself, there will be parts of each manual that are relevant to the modules that you're taking. So you might see me offer some suggested reading. You know, we'll cover this in the lecture, but you can get another take on it if you read this section of the manual. And then I'll do my best to include relevant nidra practices per module. And of course, you don't have to do these nidra practices each time you take a module, but it is a really nice way to further integrate some of this work and to apply it right away into the direct experience of the practice. I'm a big fan of quizzes. I know you might hear the word quiz and have this conditioned response of fear and failure. But I like to use quizzes just as a learning tool to test my listening or how much of the content I integrated. So I've included optional quizzes at the end of some, not all, of the modules. You're welcome to use those if you like. Okay, before I discuss the manual as a resource itself, just circling back to point number 3 on this slide, I care a lot about making sure that your education and your learning experience is accessible to you. So in addition to watching this video, you're also welcome to download a transcript of the lecture, and you'll have the option of viewing your lecture with or without closed captions. So these are some of the approaches I'm working with to assist with all different learning styles. But if the content that I've offered or components to this program need to be modified, or if you need any additional support in this field, you let me know. Again, this is a great reason to email me. Conveniently, I work with a learning technologist, or I don't work with him, I am married to him. So between his head and mine, we will find a way to make sure that this content feels accessible to you. All right. So going down to the manual and making the most of it, you're getting this huge honkin' PDF file with the manual, which is my life's work. Probably the second project that I've been most proud of producing in my life, the first being making a child. So within your manual, and I'm not going to flip through it and have you read it from front to back, although you totally should. I just wanted to point out some pieces that will really be helpful for you to use outside of this program. So a lot of graduates from this program constantly return back to the manual as reference points or to serve as inspiration. So near the back end of your manual, you'll see two sections, and it might be useful to look at your table of contents while I describe this. There's one section called sample nidra stages. And so you'll see here a wealth of examples of how to approach leading the stages that I've broken down as a part of a complete nidra practice. So these are really handy for you to practice teach from, for you to gain inspiration from, or for you to use entirely. So anything in that section, you can go ahead and teach from. You have my permission. And further to that, there is a section after the sample stages, which is called sample nidra scripts. So these are full scripts, front to back in their entirety, which again, you can use as inspiration or use completely to go forth and teach from. So those are my gifts to you. And those are tools that kind of mean you can hit the ground running here. So we'll speak more to those scripts and practice teaching in a later module, but I wanted to make that crystal clear for you right now. These are your resources. You can absolutely teach from them for sure. And then right at the back of your manual, you'll see a section where I've listed all the resources that I've referenced. So all of the work and collective knowledge that I've made reference of in the manual. And after that is a section on recommended reading, which I've done my best to organize. In many of these lectures, you might hear me saying, if you want to read more on that, visit da 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 da. That might be included in the references within Teachable. This is the platform that I'm using for the program. But you'll also find the majority of them in this section of the manual. So I hope that's helpful. The manual itself does have sections for you to write in or type in your own notes. So it is a fillable PDF format. But for some of us, if we want to print our own copy, you're welcome to do that. And then you'll have space for note taking there. If you're a note taker, get yourself just an extra book, a notebook as well, because there will be more notes to take than space that I've provided in the manual. That's for sure. If you want to be short on paper, I would say one section that might be the most useful to print would be the Sankalpa worksheets. So you decide. I hope you enjoy this additional resource to the program. Okay. And then lastly, and I've already sort of made this point, but this is absolutely about cultivating your own relationship to yoga nidra. I find this is the best way to teach with authenticity and connection. So I highly encourage you to start practicing. Maybe you already do on the regular, but I've included the section of my website that has all of my nidra recordings there available for free to you to access and available for you to download as well, if you'd like to do that onto your own device. Outside of my own recordings, there's a lot of nidra content out there in the world. So go forward, practice as much as you can. Okay, I think that's it for this piece. We'll see what's next on my slides. Yes. Okay. Program requirements. So you could absolutely move through these modules and call it a day, right? That would be awesome. You'll get a lot of information and hopefully have a great experience. If you want the option of receiving a certificate from me, so some kind of certification that says, I've done this training, and Taryn Diamond says, yes, I'm going to go forth and teach nidra. these are the components that I'd like to see from you. And this is also a great way for us to dialogue a little bit, as we're not going to be doing that live during this type of a program. So there's three components to your program requirements. And I've also included this as a document that you can download from this module if you'd like to have that on hand. So the first component, as I mentioned, is getting some practice under your belt. So you'll be practicing yoga nidra at least twice with different instructors. So these practices could be live classes if you're lucky enough to be somewhere where live nidra is happening on the regular, but they can also be recordings for sure. That makes things a bit easier. So you'll do two nidra practices with two different instructors and send me a really brief note on your experience. And I mean brief, it could just be a sentence. I did this nidra with this person, da 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 da. I don't necessarily need commentary or critiques of this, but merely you sending me this note is a way for us to be accountable to this portion of the requirements. Second to that, you'll also do some practicing with my recordings, as I've already suggested you start doing. And that'll be, again, at least twice. So now with the practice components, you've got at least four nidra practices under your belt. And again, you'll send me a little note on those experiences. The reason I'm having you do this, in addition to gaining your own relationship to yoga nidra, is practicing with other teachers will hopefully be an exercise of giving you a sense of what components you would prioritize as a nidra facilitator, what works for you, what doesn't, what you like, what you don't, so that you can start to hone your craft a little more. Okay, so that's the practice components. And then we go down to developing some teaching skills. And there will be some words in this section that you might not necessarily understand yet because we haven't learned them together. So don't fret. First, I would like you to try your hand at drafting one stage of the practice. And again, we don't even know what the stages are yet because I haven't taught them to you, but you'll have a sense of varying stages throughout the practice. I want you to try writing one section, so one stage. And here I'm asking you to use language that speaks directly to that kosha. I assume you don't know what a kosha is yet. This component will make sense once we get there. You can send that to me, written form, and I'll send you some great feedback. This is a skill set that some of us might employ down the road. Some of us might choose to draft our own scripts, but a lot of great nidra teachers are just going to read from scripts that other folks have written or sort of orate off the top of their head. So being an amazing writer is not necessary, but we'll try it as a skill set, as a part of these requirements. Second to that, I'd also like you to make an audio recording. So you're going to record yourself leading one stage of the practice. And to be clear, it could be one of the stages I've provided. I just mentioned there's several within your manual, or it could be one that you've drafted for me. You might try your hand at recording that. When we get into the module where I introduce all the stages to you, I'll try and remind you there to make note of some of the stages that might be trickier to lead as a teacher. And those stages, due to, you know, the challenges with timing or holding silence or whatever component it involves, those might be the stage that you'll want to send to me for feedback because we know it's a trickier one. So again, make use of these requirements and get feedback where you think it will be most beneficial to you. Last, here's that word again, exam or quiz. I'd like you to complete a take-home exam, and you'll be able to download this from the final module, which will be called Next Steps. This is kind of accumulation of all the knowledge you'll glean from this program. all of the answers for this exam, obviously the exam is open book, right? All of the answers you'll find either in your manual or from the content that you've covered by watching these modules. So I think it's a really useful learning tool. My suggestion before you approach writing the exam is to give yourself a week or two away from the modules that you've just covered, and then try writing your exam just from memory first, just to see what is my brain actually absorbed? What are some content pieces that I've forgotten? And then from there, go ahead and consult your notes and do what you need to do to finish those answers. So when I've received all three of these components, I will happily send you a fancy certificate with your name on it and with my signature, and then you can frame it and hang it above your bed because that's where we put those things, right? Any questions on these pieces, of course, I'm available to email. And you can send these components whenever you want, whenever you finish them. You don't have to wait and send them in a full package. So whenever they happen, send them my way. I will track your progress for you. All right. So out of the bland, and let's go into a bit of framing and a bit of context. So what is Yoga Nidra? What is Yoga Nidra? I like to describe it, before we look at the words on this slide, I like to describe Nidra as just a deceptively simple practice. So why is it deceptively simple, even though it's so rich? It's simple because folks are lying down. So it's a practice we take by lying down. We have our eyes closed. And then the practitioner is receiving verbal prompts from a facilitator. That's it in a nutshell. That's it. That's all. We could end the program here. Now, it's deceptively simple because there is so much rich stuff happening beneath the surface, which is really what this whole program is about. I often joke that when I teach Yoga Nidra in public classes, I never have the time to convey its complexities, which is why I made this entire training just for that reason. So in a nutshell, we could describe it very simply. You lie down, you close your eyes, you spend time 10 to 30 or more minutes listening to a guide. And that will show up for some of us as relaxation, as exploration. Some of us might use it as a meditative practice or as a spiritual practice. There are so many applications to this practice. It's wild. If you Google searched Yoga Nidra and then you waited for the autofill to happen, which is wild that the internet does this for us now, you'll see Yoga Nidra for manifesting abundance, Yoga Nidra for aligning your chakras, Yoga Nidra for healing, Yoga Nidra for insomnia. We could go on and on and on. You can see how this as a tool has been applied to many, many causes. So now what I would like to offer here is this amazing word, Yoga Nidra, as an adaptogen. So I'm going to pause there. Maybe some of us can circulate in our brains and see if we remember what this word adaptogen means, or maybe it's a new word for some of us. Yoga Nidra is an adaptogen. So I first heard the word adaptogen show up when I was working with my naturopath, and specifically with herbs or herbalism. So my naturopath was trying to help me with my seasonal allergies. I have horrible hay fever. As soon as things start pollinating, nose running, it's a miserable time for me. And so the suggestion was, let's have you start ingesting stinging nettle leaf. So you can do it in a tincture format, you could do it in a tea, but let's make sure your body is receiving stinging nettle leaf on the regular. I received it because I have hay fever and allergies, and it is proven or a known way to support your allergies, to alleviate those symptoms. Now, someone else might have stinging nettle leaf recommended to them because their body is in an inflamed state. So stinging nettle leaf can also be used to alleviate inflammation. So you see how the tincture or the thing that I'm taking is the stinging nettle leaf. But when it enters my system, my body receives it and applies it to what I need in that moment, which is that I'm going to take it and my hay fever symptoms will be alleviated. Someone else might take stinging nettle leaf because they're in a state of inflammation and those symptoms will now be alleviated. I believe there's some studies that stinging nettle can also lower blood pressure. So there's another application. So we'll give it to a third person and their body will receive it and lower blood pressure. So in this example, the input hasn't changed. It's stinging nettle leaf across the board. But when that nettle leaf enters my system will receive it and apply it in the way that it needs to. So let's take that example into yoga nidra now. Yoga nidra, this spoken practice while a body's resting, let's call nidra the input. And let's say I have a class where I'm teaching three people. I'm saying the same words. I'm providing the identical input, which is I'm guiding folks through a nidra practice. Now, one body or one system might receive it and immediately fall asleep because that body needed to rest. The second student in the room, they might receive the practice and receive a surge of creativity. They come to you and they're so excited and then they know what to do next with the project they're working on. This is how their system needed to receive it. And then the next student, again, identical input, yoga nidra being led by me, enters their system and they slide into a profound state of relaxation because their body needed it. So you see how I've offered three varying outcomes for the same input. What I'm getting at here is that yoga nidra is adapting to how each person needs to receive it in that very moment. Yoga nidra as an adaptogen. Even if we come out of this program and we think, okay, I'm going to create a bunch of nidra scripts for my friends who are musicians. So it's going to be geared around musicality and creativity. Amazing. Frame your nidra practice that way. But also know, regardless of your intention, your students are going to receive it in the exact way that their system needs to in that moment. So there is some profound trust in that news. For me, I really trust and respect that this is an effective practice. I trust that my students will receive it in exactly the way they need to. So we'll talk about this throughout the practice, throughout this program. But what's exciting for me is it takes a little bit of the onus off of me as a facilitator. I'm going to show up and be prepared and be present. But I also trust that whatever I'm offering will be received in the way that each practitioner needs to receive it. So I hope that's clear. I think it's the most exciting piece for me in terms of how we could frame or describe yoga nidra. All right. So we have, let's say, two main schools or lineages within yoga nidra. These are absolutely not exhaustive. There's always amazing new content coming out, new teachers coming out. So I'm using this as framework, knowing that it is incomplete and ever-changing. That's for sure. So you'll see on the left side of the screen here, the Himalayan Institute, which is actually based out of Pennsylvania in the United States. The Himalayan Institute was founded by Swami Rama, perhaps a name some of us are aware of. And Swami Rama also taught the facilitation of yoga nidra to some other big names here. We've got Rod Stryker, and he's a name that I'll reference again when we look at using nidra towards intention setting, which is another application. Rod Stryker has done some really great writing on that. And also Richard Miller, which might be a more familiar name in that, yes, Richard Miller has come from the Himalayan Institute, but some folks might even say that Richard Miller is in and of himself another branch on the yoga nidra tree. Richard Miller came up with or designed the eye rest yoga nidra methodology. And specifically, he was working with studying or measuring how nidra can be used to alleviate the symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder or PTSD. So that would be a name that I would direct you to if you are hoping to start facilitating nidra to specific audiences that might identify as having experienced trauma. Now, on that piece, I also implore you to consider your scope as a teacher. So Richard Miller is also a trained therapist. I myself am not. So I wouldn't necessarily frame my offerings as specific to alleviating trauma, but I will also give you a lot of tips in terms of how we can approach facilitating in a way that is aware and informed of trauma and that minimizes harm. So Richard Miller and eye rest, great place to go if you're looking for the intersection of those two worlds. As a whole, nidras that we see coming from the Himalayan Institute, and I just realized aggravatingly that I've probably spelt Himalayan wrong, but so be it. There will be mistakes throughout this program because I'm a human. As a whole, the Himalayan Institute style of yoga nidra is quite expansive. It's quite open-ended and not necessarily structured or prescriptive in terms of its cueing. We might not even hear a request to include an intention. We might not even hear a very clear pathway of stages from this type of a practice. And you'll see an example of a body scan in your manual inspired by this lineage of approaching leading yoga nidra. By contrast, this other branch of the nidra tree on the right-hand side of your screen, the Bihar school of yoga nidra, is the opposite. So Bihar school yoga nidras will be very clear and sequential with their stages and progressions, almost to the point sometimes if you look up a Bihar school inspired nidra, you'll hear the facilitator actually name the title of the stage before moving into the practice. Bihar school nidras will also have very prescriptive and directive cueing. So I want to speak to that point in a moment. You'll also hear a lot of cues such as you are awake, you will remain awake, kind of peppered throughout the practice itself. These are all very indicative of this lineage of yoga nidra. Now, the Bihar school was founded by Swami Satyananda. And if you did a Google search of either of these Swami names, you might see that both of these gentlemen, should I call them that? Both of these teachers have had many an allegation towards them in terms of how they've treated their students and misused their power. There's lots of content for that if you did want to look into it. The only reason that I'm stating this here is for transparency's sake, for sure. And it's not that I can apologize for someone else's behavior, but it is worth all of us being informed about where some of these ideas and practices are coming from. And we'll speak more to the history of that too. I don't think it's necessarily tied to these individuals specifically. The bigger piece in terms of why I'm sharing this with you is that I think we are all at the forefront of starting to modify and amend how we facilitate these types of practices with an eye for agency and choice. And if you want to use the word safety, include that there as well. So I'll speak to this quite a bit as we move through this practice, and it's a very important part of how I lead and facilitate Yoga Nidra. So if we look at these two schools, we can also pull from it two unique ways to approach facilitating Yoga Nidra. So I've described already the Himalayan Institute side of things as being very open-ended, expansive. There's big periods of silence, and there's a lot of suggestive cues. Whereas the Bihar school is prescriptive. And I'll give you an example here of the difference between the two. I think that you can toggle between both. There might be moments in your practice in a certain script or a section of a script where you'll be very specific and directive with your language. There might be moments where you're much more open and offer up choice. I think there's great reasons for both. I think it's fascinating that they sort of come out as different teaching styles based on these two schools. So to ground this in a better example for all of us, let's say we're at a section of the practice where we're asking folks to indulge in sensations. And so the sensation that I'm cueing is that the body is growing warm. If I were to approach it from a more open form of facilitation, I might say something like, "Can you imagine that your body is growing warmer now? Your temperature is increasing. And what might that feel like for you? Perhaps it's the heat you would feel if you were laying down beside a fireplace." This is the open way to cue that type of sensation. The prescriptive way to cue it would be, "The body is growing warm. Feel the body hot. The temperature of the body is rising. Feel your body growing warm." You see the differences? That's what I'm getting at with these two different approaches. And I encourage you to toggle between the two. I think both of them have great reason and great efficacy. Okay, so that's the landscape in a nutshell, incomplete at best, for sure. And so I mentioned the history of Yoga Nidra is murky. If you read the book written by Swami Satchidananda, so that's our Bihar school teacher, he has a book called Yoga Nidra. It's the blue book, and a lot of people think this is the be-all, end-all. And if you read that book, you would see how Satchidananda sort of claims Yoga Nidra as his own. But as a teacher, as a researcher, as someone who studies quite a lot of yoga philosophy, I have done my own work in terms of seeking out primary source scripture, so yoga's first texts, to see where some of the words and vocabulary that we use from within Yoga Nidra shows up. So I'll offer a bit, if you will, a literature review here. I'm also planning on building this work a bit more in a future module, so keep that in mind down the road. So here's what I've got for all of you right now. Within scripture, we do see the word nidra showing up. I didn't list it here, but nidra is often described as a state that one experiences, and we'll see this in some of Indian epic poetry. We also see it as a state that one could access or induce by practicing a mudra called Khichari, which is placing your tongue all the way at the soft palate at the very back and roof of your mouth. So this is coming from the Hatha Yoga Pradipika. We also see nidra showing up as a word in Patanjali's Yoga Sutra. So Patanjali will describe nidra as a wave of the mind, and it is a wave of the mind or a state of our consciousness that we could use to move towards samadhi or enlightenment, if we're familiar with this tradition. So fascinating that it shows up there in this way. We'll make reference to a lot of these pieces when you do the philosophy module. So the Sanskrit terms and concepts utilized within Nidra, we'll see them being traced back to specific Upanishads. We'll look at those together. We'll see some words from later stages within the practice being referenced in this amazing scripture called the Yog Vashisht. And this is the scripture by the sage that we name that pose side plank after, right? Vashishtasana. And the Vivek Chudamani, this will also show up as a referenced scripture informing Nidra. But aside from just finding these words and connecting them to scripture, we could say there's one section of a Nidra practice that is most easily linked to an older yoga practice, just one. And this is the body scan stage, which happens earlier on in the practice when you move your awareness through locations as you hear them named. This is most easily linked to a tantric practice called nyasa. And nyasa would have a practitioner sequentially place mudras or sometimes deities across the body. This could be done with visualizations, but I'm also seeing that sometimes folks would get tattoos sequentially across the body, which is also pretty badass. So that's our one tangible connection to an older yoga practice showing up within Yoga Nidra. We see Nidra sort of gaining some traction in the 1950s when Swami Satyananda begins lecturing on Yoga Nidra worldwide. And I'll include a link to a speech that he made if you're curious to read that. I would say, sure, we hear folks talking about it in the 1950s, but I think that we are maybe at the start of Nidra having its heyday right now, right? This real prioritization of rest within wellness communities and quite a proliferation of studies now, scientific studies, on this notion of rest, and specifically rest that doesn't involve sleeping, which we could categorize Yoga Nidra as. I'll also include an article here by Mark Singleton, who's a really fantastic yoga historian. And within this article, Mark's thesis is that Nidra is really a new practice that is born of a dialogue. It's born of a dialogue between Indian teachers who traveled to Europe, mostly Western Europe and North America, and some of the world's first psychologists. So interesting, born of a dialogue between the two. And he draws this conclusion because there's many relaxation techniques that we'll see in traditional Nidra practices that seem to resemble early psychology rather than the yoga tradition. So I leave that up to you as some food for thought. To me, it's one of the great pieces of work trying to track down or uncover or understand the history of Yoga Nidra itself. So with that being said, I'll include a brief audio recording of a Nidra that I'll try and keep rather classical so that you can sort of see my approach to the practice in a nutshell. I encourage you to maybe take a break from this viewing, lie down and listen. I thank you again so much for joining me here and trusting me with this work. My teaching philosophy is that I make no assumptions on what your prior knowledge and experience is. So I hope we build this work from the ground up. And I also teach from abundance. So you'll probably get more than you need to facilitate Yoga Nidra confidently, but I'm happy to share it. So enjoy this and thank you.